It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Mike, that's what I need. I need my own set of headphones.
Yeah, we just had a really deep discussion about headphones.
That I bring in a case. Can I do that? And then when I travel and do the show remote, I have these golden headphones.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to be golden.
I'm not a huge fan of the traveling Design Coach show. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I know. You're like,
yeah, where are you going? Why are you spending so much time away?
Okay. We'll get into all of this. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And in a rare sighting, I'm in studio.
You're here.
I know.
Oh, I like your watch.
Thank you. It's not to scale, so it's large.
I'm a big face.
I like
watch
a big
guy.
And I like that it's green. Like it's different.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, see,
all right.
How about
I
that?
Like it.
For those of you listening,
who makes
on the,
that?
This is my cheapy Fossil watch. It's my beat up watch.
Fossil.
Oh yeah. Both see, I beat on watches.
Yeah.
I like them because they're marginally disposable.
Yeah.
Like,
it's my only Fossil watch that I own.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm going to graduate at some point, but I beat on them so badly.
Yeah, I love watches.
I know.
Mine's ceramic.
Watches?
Bad,
oh,
heavy.
That's nice.
Yeah,
watches?
I don't think they make those anymore.
Have you heard of Wolf Point?
I have
watch?
Not.
Check them out.
All right.
You like them. Same kind of style, higher quality.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, as we talk, you know, all things fashion here on the Design Coach on this Sunday morning. So listen, where have I been? I think the better question is, where haven't I been? I have started the year at the Design Coach, kicking off a series of national projects in Pennsylvania and in
Florida too.
Florida,
right?
Like
right.
I think half of our client base now is in Florida, like half. So you know, having established many relationships here in the Midwest, that now in true Design Coach fashion, we believe our relationships should travel. And that good design does travel, so does good advice. That you want to be a part of your clients' lives forever, right? And for them to see value in what you're providing, and that means that we go where they go. And sometimes it's a multiple home, sometimes it's a move, right? Sometimes it's another whatever the project is. We feel like we want to play a role in it, and we want to be valued by our clients and let them know that we're available to them. So. First part of 2024, I knew, Mike, this was going to happen to me. Like, I knew end of 2023 that where we were going to be as a firm, having grown to where we are now with not just the relationships, but the size of our team.
Yeah, you have a big staff.
Yeah, we do. We have a pretty good size staff. And honestly, they staff to the size of my ideas and to my thoughts. I mean, I am not kidding you. Like, for years, I was out kicking my coverage, okay, to not to go back to a Super Bowl reference, but I was definitely out kicking my coverage, right. for those of you who, have a football reference out there. But I literally now have a team, and I will have a facility now, which we're going to embark on here in the next, I think, 3 weeks. We start construction.
So you didn't have one before?
No. Well, we had one that we rented. This one we own.
Oh,
so we bought a building in downtown Harvard, Illinois. It's 9,200 square feet.
Harvard.
Yeah, wow. right on the main street, and it's right off of Route 14, right in the heart of downtown. And it's nice because it will signify a sort of a return to a Main Street USA presence for us, which for me is really big. I really believe if businesses have the opportunity to make an impact in their local community by relocating, buying a building, and improving something, that this is absolutely in line with what we're trying to do at the Design Coach, which is leave something better behind. And in this instance, it'll be our home. Our home base and our headquarters.
Why Harvard?
It's where we live.
Okay.
It seems to me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we live just outside of Harvard in unincorporated McHenry County. And Harvard, right
now.
We're
not that far.
No, we're not that far.
I was thinking Harvard was further.
No, it's not. It's actually, from the west end of Geneva Lake, it's not that far at all.
Okay.
It's like maybe like 12 minutes.
Oh.
It's not far. But what it does do is it gives us right now located in the historic Starline factory. Which has been a great home for us. For the longest time, my wife and I, Julie, had been wanting to buy a building, and you got to find the right space, right? We had to find the right opportunity. And, this 2024, like I mentioned, was going to be off to a fast start, not only with the build out of the new space, but also all the travel, because this is just the nature of, I think this is kind of what in our version success kind of looks like, which is, you want to be wanted. and you want your advice to be valued, and you try to set up an apparatus from a service perspective that allows you to expand, not just to expand, but to serve. And I think that's different with us. You know, we only want to get so big, right? Like I'm not looking to create, you know, a 20 or 25 person firm. That's not really who we are. That's not our complexion. What I would love is multiple offices to not have to hotel out of places, right? Or clients' homes to do work. So I think that's next for us. But I just love enjoying the regional nature of interior design. And, you know, right now the home we're working on in Pennsylvania is very different than the homes that we're working on in Florida and very different than the homes we're working on here in the Midwest. So it's taking us, Mike, wherever we need to go. And that's why I've been out. And that's why when I told Nancy, hey, it's going to be like more frequent for us to, for me to want to do or need to do the radio show in the field. And at least I can talk about kind of what we're working on. She's like, okay, we're going to do it via Zoom. And I know you do the editing for our show most of the time, so we're lucky enough to have you in studio with us today. But the headphones I always appreciate because it makes me feel like a real radio pro when you make me wear them.
I shake my head when I hear it's going to be Zoom. Okay,
Julie, my wife, did for Christmas buy me one of those like podcast mics. So I'm going to try that the next time
Use it. Use it.
And then I am, in honor of you, just to make me feel like I am a real radio show pro, I will wear headphones.
You look good in headphones.
I do?
Yeah,
I
look like you got your own little show.
Really?
Yeah.
Look like a baby with the Sony Walkman on.
You're good.
Okay, because that's kind of how I feel.
You're good.
Scale-wise. Anyway, listen, I have a couple things that I want to chat about that are happening in our world. The first newsletter, our lifestyle newsletter that we put out last month in February, Kylie Peterson, our director of lifestyle design, who's just been doing such a great job, is bringing on all of these partners that extend our reach at the Design Coach beyond the design. This is sort of a new thing for us as well. I don't know if you and I have talked about this ever.
I don't think so.
But we've been partnering with all of these. Well, we've been partnering with all of these people that I don't know, I just sort of known for a while, and some that I haven't really known all that long, but that bring a unique skill set to the complexion of our firm as partners. Not as employees, but as just like lifestyle partners that really do enhance our clients' experience of the home that we've helped them design, help them use it, help them, not only use it, but also enhance it and enhance the overall experience. You know, the thought was, is if you're going to go in and you're going to build these amazing spaces and you're going to go through these journeys with these clients to be able to really create amazing interiors and interior and exterior environments. I mean, we're not just creating interiors and we're not just making new selections for, you know, new builds and remodeling. We are absolutely transforming properties, you know. So, you know, our philosophy here, especially just for instance in Geneva Lake, is from porch to pier. You know, your experience is from your front porch to your pier. What does that look like beyond the interior? And so we've now taken it beyond just the interior and the exterior design, and now we've taken it into lifestyle design. And Kylie helps us lead that effort. And this latest newsletter had all of these Super Bowl tips and all these things for, I thought of you because it was Valentine's Day. That's what triggered that. But I bring this up because I have to come up with some cocktails for St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So all right. Are you a St. Patty's Day guy?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a thing that you do every year? Like, describe that for me.
Well, this is probably a whole different show, but okay. I'll try and sum it up as short as I can.
Oh, wow.
St. Patrick's Day for us. My dad was born on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
He passed away unexpectedly December 11th of 2019.
Okay.
And every year, ever since we were kids, it was a huge thing. He would throw a big bash. Oh. And it wasn't really like for himself. He was like a guy that wanted to get the family together all the time.
Yeah.
And
his gift was bringing everyone together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So he would dress up every year it only came out once a year, a green blazer. He'd wear his hat. The buttons were all over the...
So he was all in.
He was all in.
And what was his name?
Ron. Yeah, awesome. He was like your everybody. You couldn't not like if he walked in here right now. Yeah. You'd never met him before. You two would walk out
friends,
like best buds. Mm. Everywhere he went, he was just everybody's best friend.
What an awesome legacy that
is. And so
that's great.
My mom gave me the jacket last year, and I wore it for the first time last year, and it was weird. I was like, I don't know if I should be wearing this jacket.
I understand.
But it was good. It was a
How
good
special
feeling.
Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So St. Patrick's Day is very special to but it's hard now. It's hard when it rolls around.
Okay.
Because we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was a place we used to go to in his older years, his favorite bar.
Yeah.
Which is now torn down. So as a family, we try to get together, but it's not the same.
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to roll this back on you a little bit because I had no idea that this story existed. And by the way, this is a great,
That's
first of all, it's an amazing story. It's a great segue. You'll realize why in a moment,
okay,
which was not planned. But I will say this, that is so great that maybe that was supposed to, maybe that's a thing for you because I will say to you, you do that. You are very personable. You are you're a great communicator.
Thanks. Yeah.
You are always out there. And I know that it's not always just for your job, for your role. I think you really enjoy being out there.
I do.
And connecting people like your dad did. I don't know that that's by accident, my friend. I think that there's sometimes, maybe this is the mantle and it's in the form of a green jacket.
Yeah.
And this is your opportunity to maybe carry on the tradition. Have you thought about it in that light? I hope it's okay. I don't mean to get too personal.
No, it's fine.
But I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, I don't know. There's a lot of similarities there to maybe absolutely you being the standard bearer of the next generation of the green jacket.
Yeah, I just.
Cool.
It was just weird. It was weird it, right?
But then doesn't the weird at some point translate into honor? Listen, my mom passed unexpectedly as well. So I don't speak of this from not an experience of and it's weird. If you don't belong to the, when your first parent dies, it's a weird club. Yeah. It's just,
awful.
It's wow. awful and yeah. it's weird. My mom died unexpectedly marching in a parade. In a political parade.
Whoa.
She was very politically active. In so many ways, it was exactly the way it should have gone down, but it shouldn't have gone down. Does that make sense to anyone?
Yes. I have so many questions.
Right. There's a lot of questions. But what I say is that you all of a sudden then become, because of the void, mm-hmm. once you've had a chance to sort of process it, you realize then all of the other gifts and all of the things that are inside of you that mm-hmm. you had kind of shelved because you hadn't needed them because the person that was in your life was there.
Right.
And then when the person isn't there anymore, you realize all of the gifts that were on the shelf for you that were always there,
right.
that were very quietly sometimes just implanted inside of you. And then you gain access to that. I have a feeling that will happen for you. Especially as you age and you sort of realize, tomorrow's promise to nobody.
Yeah, and I had never worn it in my life, and I knew my mom was keeping it in her closet to eventually give to me. And when I put it on,
this is such a great story.
It fit perfect.
I was going to ask you, how did it fit?
Perfectly. And the funny thing is,
see, that is so perfect. That is absolutely. See, there is a reason. I'm telling you, sir.
Right.
There is a reason. And listen, when we come back from the break, I want to explore a little bit more of that because on today's show, I have this transformative journey that I kind of want to take everybody. And I'm not kidding you. This is a really important topic about how you sort of change your life through a series of words that I want to share with everybody. And it goes all the way, and it starts with promise. And it starts with a promise that you make to yourself. And I want to talk about how that promise transforms into so many other things that you can't possibly imagine if you'll let it. This is an inspirational show on this Sunday morning. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh my gosh, Mike, thank you so much for sharing that story. I did not mean
I'm
to-
I'm glad you asked.
I just didn't mean to swerve into something intensely
it's
personal.
Okay. It's all right.
It was like an accident.
I like talking about it.
Okay, good, good. Well, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sosano. And we were just talking about the fact that I've got to come up with three cocktails for our St. Patrick's Day lifestyle newsletter. That's how we got on this topic of your dad, Ron, and the jacket that he-
It's funny you asked what his drink was and what wasn't his drink, really. He just, the guy could.
Yes.
And he liked to party.
Okay, you could say the same thing about me.
Okay.
I don't really.
And me too.
I partake in all of it.
Okay.
And, I will say that there's a passion for life that I think can be beaten out of us at times. And I think life has a way of recalibrating in sometimes joyful but painful ways.
Sure.
And both of those calibrations, both the painful and the joyful way, are ones that make it all worth the ride.
Sure.
Like, if it's not an up and down, you can never really know true right. joy or happiness right. unless you've been really sad. It's just, you need the perspective
sure.
to be able to benchmark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody says that when you get the instruction manual, right?
Right.
Yeah. When you hit,
right.
you know, like your teen years, you're like, I don't understand this at all. Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to process it with zero instruction manual. Hopefully your parents do a decent enough job narrating it, right?
Of course. Right.
Versus saying things like, that's just the way it is, kid.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I got a healthy dose of that and a healthy dose of
parenting is so different now, how I see younger parents.
Parenting?
Yeah, like how my parents parented me versus the generation now parenting their kids.
It's yeah, I got a lot.
Extremely
That is a whole different show, and I have a lot to say about that.
I'm sure you do.
I will say to you right now, yeah, there's a lot there.
Just like real quick example, like you're in a grocery store and a kid acts out in a grocery store.
Yes.
Now the parents wanna.
Yes.
Oh, what's wrong?
Listen, I'm not.
My parents would pump me across the grocery store if I acted out.
Listen, you do need at a young age a healthy respect for authority.
Yes.
And
the fear was there.
There has to be a percentage of fear. Yes.
I'm not saying they did, but.
And I don't mean fear. I don't mean fear in the way that there's got to be, fear and consequence. Let's temper it that way, right? Like, not afraid, but fear of consequence, not of person. Let's say fear of consequence, not of person, is probably the best way to describe it.
Right.
And I don't know that it was interesting. I was having this conversation with several people. Actually in different locations at different times about how you really need to wire your kids from the age, let's just call it 7 to 13, maybe even 12. Like you have this very small window where if you don't do the wiring correctly,
you're fixing
the wiring in the teenage years if you don't wire early.
It's hard to fix that though.
No, if
Can't.
You don't wire
you're
early,
right.
if you don't wire the right window. Yes.
Yeah.
If you're like, I just want to be their friend, you end up at 15 with something that you look at that you don't even know how to communicate with because you didn't put in the work early.
100%
right. And I will say that that's the one lesson that I will, before we go off on a parenting tangent here, right, on Sunday morning show.
From drinking to parenting.
Yeah, which, well, they're all linked.
They do go hand in hand.
It's all linked. It's all linked. That and parenting and drinking. That's the thing. Sometimes you just got to take the edge off. That's all I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So listen, on today's show, I'm not saying that I'm in a reflective mood. I will just say that I'm in a, because of all of the travel, you have a lot of time to think. You're on a plane. You don't necessarily have the distractions of your phone necessarily.
Are you a sleeper on a plane or no?
I thought I was. I'm not.
It's so hard to sleep on a
plane,
right?
I mean, I will nod, but I do that. I do the really awkward baby head nod. And so it's just not a great look for me.
Are you like an aisle guy, a window guy?
Well, I tend to give, so if I'm traveling with a team member, I normally give them the window. So I will suffer through the middle if need be. But if I'm traveling by myself, I'm an aisle guy.
Okay. All right.
I like the
totally
quick.
Totally an aisle guy.
I like quick, right. Case I got to make a move. Right. I don't know where I'm going.
I don't need to stare out the window.
I'm on a plane. I'm in a tube. Right. I'm not going anywhere. I just want the illusion that I can go somewhere. Okay. There's a huge analogy there. But anyway.
And I hate flying.
You do?
Hate it.
I don't. I used to really fear the process of it. I actually don't. No.
That plane moves a little bit, and I'm just. I'm like,
is that
we're
right?
We're going down, man. We're going down.
Well.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate.
We travel a lot.
I know, but I haven't had a lot of nightmares on planes, meaning canceled flights. I haven't had a lot of that bad luck that I know a lot of people have. But I'm also not one of those travelers that's I'm not back to backing my travel. Does that make sense? I'm going to a single destination and then I'm going to another destination. Right. I also refuse to do connections. I refuse. I will only do nonstop and I will pay for it because I just can't deal with. I have tried my whole life not to be a part of the matrix. And to me, that's just plugging yourself into the lemming matrix of connection flights.
Right.
And I understand for me, it's worth the extra money.
We can't do it.
So anyway, back on the topic of today's show, I've been realizing what a very specific trajectory has looked like for us at the Design Coach that I've been able to not only take a big picture view of, but also an individual view. So on the management side of things, having grown this team since the beginning of last summer and doubling the size of our crew to be able to meet the needs of the profile of a national firm, which is where I knew I wanted to go, which was, hey, listen, we do great, work in the Midwest, but these relationships are traveling and I want to be able to do work for the same people I love doing work for if they decide that there's another location that they want to do a creative project. I mean, why should the relationship end? Right? Like, especially nothing taught us more than COVID that was possible. I mean, I would have never dreamed of doing video conferencing before. I would have never dreamed of the transformative nature of exactly how technology has allowed our team to be able to connect with people. You know, we've just now brought on better visualization tools in the form of 3D, where you can send 3D modeling to people and you can walk them through a space. I mean, it's really getting to the point where you don't necessarily need to be in the physical location to do your job. It does help from time to time, but it's also made the connection points and the travel, it just enhances the visit because you've already been able to maintain the relationship without getting on the plane. And that's kind of where we found ourselves at the beginning of 2024, is the team has been trained, the team is in place, and the team is ready to begin to really leverage the opportunities on a national level, which has been super exciting for us, not to mention the fact that we're also sort of doing national travel with, hey, we're sinking our roots in locally with our new headquarters and our new retail venture, which will be hopefully opening before the end of the year. In other words, another really big connection point for us locally, even though we do work nationally, right? It grounds us and allows us to fly kind of simultaneously.
Do you have your hands in the pot of every project you do, or do you hand it off to, say, one of your team members and they fly with it, or are you... I don't know how many projects you have going on at one time.
I hand off for skill set. Right. I manage it all.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm in.
So you know everything that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, minus the order processing and fulfillment. You know, once the design is done, then I rely on my team to sort of harvest all the materials based on the completed design.
All right.
And then I'm there to be able to manage sort of the install and then the finishing.
All right.
So I do get divorced from it on some of the, some of the technical as it relates to sort of procurement. But as it relates to creative and design, I'm in everything.
All right.
And I don't ever really not want to be there. I think what it's done for us is it's created this opportunity as a manager to be able to collaborate with so many more people that I hadn't been doing. I mean, when we were a smaller firm, collaboration was just bilateral, right? It was me and maybe one or two employees. And the problem is then you have to take a linear approach to your projects instead of an organic approach. The best analogy I can give you is sort of like the design kitchen. Like, you have all these orders flying in from all these tables of things that they want to order. And you've got to be able to work on the timing of everything to make sure that all the dishes arrive on time. But you're not working on one meal at a time. Like, you're a kitchen. You're not working on one meal at a time. You're working on multiple meals for multiple tables, multiple size parties all the time. And so our team back in early 2023 wasn't necessarily as conducive to that. I recognized this early and said, okay, here are the skill sets, but more importantly, here's the mindset that I was after. And we're now to a point where I feel like on today's show, what I wanted to talk about is how we kind of got there, because I think there's a lot of stories and where you're stuck maybe in life about what does advancement really look like? What are the steps to kind of get there? And what are the lessons we've learned at the Design Coach, both individually within the roles, and especially my role as principal? What have I also learned about the management piece of it, right? About how to turn a team and hire a great team. How does that team transform into a great company? Very different. Right? You have a great team with great people, and you know individually they're awesome. How do you get them to work together? See, that's you can have a bunch of people who are great at their jobs, but we all know we've been surrounded by a bunch of pros who can't collaborate. We've all been in those environments. I'm sure you have, especially being in radio. You're like, there's all these talented people, but we can't make it work for whatever reason. You see this play out in sports all the time. You see a bunch of A-list athletes get on one team and they never win a championship. because they can't do it together. And so this journey that I've been on and this conversation on today's show has a lot to do with what I've identified as sort of like four key stages that I think are necessary to begin to sort of go through this journey of transformation to make what I believe is this end game never ending, if that makes any sense. In other words, if you can get to a point within your career in your life where you're constantly moving forward instead of staying stagnant, then you never stop discovering and you never stop learning and you never stop creating and you are always searching for the next big idea like we are, and you are always hungry to find and learn and introduce people to something new and connect with them on that creative level. That's where we live at The Design Coach, a never-ending hunger, thirst for connectivity. Now, we have to create portals to do that. A retail store would be one of them. We have to have multiple service offerings. Like when I talked to you about going way beyond the design, where we get into like, you know, lifestyle planning, when it's everything from party planning to just general lifestyle aspirations that clients have, it gets pretty granular and pretty broad, which is really, really exciting. But you've got to have the right people to pull it off. And when we come back from the break, here's where I want to dig into. I want to dig into, where do you start? If you want a life and you want a lifestyle that's perpetual, that just sort of never ends the growth cycle for you, and you just kind of want to keep improving, even if physically you're not improving, but mentally you're improving, right? I mean, listen, we all age, okay? Right? Father Time, right, catches up to all of us at some point, but you can still keep growing, you can still keep learning. What does that look like? And we're going to reverse the perpetual nature of that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Okay, so it's fascinating to me that we would have started the show talking about legacy and tradition, which is exactly the story of your dad and the green jacket.
Yes.
Legacy, tradition, the lessons of legacy, right? That since his passing, you now probably come to you in moments that you never would have even thought, especially in the quiet moments when you can let your mind rest. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's that.
Yeah.
It's that profound. It's just, it does do that. And then the tradition, right? Like, okay, so what does that mean to uphold a tradition? And what does it mean to live in a legacy? I spin that to what the genesis was for us and the transformation. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're reverse engineering what I'm going to call a perpetual mindset, a perpetual successful mindset. And what it looked like for us is in the beginning, it looked like, okay, well, you know, what were the promises that we needed to make to our clients and to ourselves that would initiate the journey? And I want to specifically start with the term promise, because that inherently applies a dedication to something, right? Like, sure. I make you a promise, right? I don't know that in previous iterations of my company that I had really taken it as seriously. I mean, I sort of knew what made us us. But there was a journey that I went through, and I've talked about this with Sonia, who's our sort of our marketing guru, about putting down what were our core values. In other words, who are we? I hadn't really ever done that. I mean, I was 25 years into this business, and a lot of people pay lip service to this, you know, mission statement, right? Maybe they call it a mission statement. And I'm not a really big believer in, you know, that your company goes on a 3-day retreat and all of a sudden you guys are healed, right? And you're moving in the same direction. I mean, everybody can fake it for 3 days. I think that what we went through is we went through an exercise where we really started to distill into 3 very specific attributes what we thought our service was to our clients. And then we said, well, does this service then mimic the behaviors that we would want to be to each other as a team? Because, you know, as Richard Branson said, if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your clients. Like, if you take care of your employees, there will be a natural outflow of taking care of your people. They will naturally then want to pass that care on to your clients. That was the mindset that I took. And I said, okay, well, what are these 3 words? And we came up with comprehensive, creative, and concierge as our sort of 3 buzzwords. Okay. We wanted to be comprehensive. We wanted to be a complete, we wanted to take a holistic view of our client's design. We did not just want to sell you a sofa or just pick a paint color. We wanted to transform your life through design in as many rooms as possible. And if that meant a property, even better. We wanted to be the most comprehensive firm out there. Okay. That was one goal. And also in our solutions, were our solutions short-sighted, or were our solutions to a problem, creative or otherwise, or business related? Was it comprehensive? Was it complete? That was big. The next was our thought creative? Like what were we offering? Was that the most creative solution or set of creative solutions? Because sometimes in our business, Mike, it's not about the one solution we present. We need to present like five, and then we let the client gravitate towards their style of their design. That's different than other design firms. There's a lot of design firms that sell a particular look and a particular style, and that's what they trade on. They trade on that designer's look, that designer's style. We don't do that. We're trying to find our client's unique visual voice. In order to do that, we have to deliver multiple creative options. And also, we also know sometimes there's more than one solution. And design is subjective anyway, right? Yeah. So creativity was a big one. So comprehensive, creative, those were sort of the two. And then the third one was, were we being concierge? Were we actually delivering the information in a way that was helpful to the client, understand who they are creatively, who they are comprehensively, and were we doing it with a delivery process that was easy to understand, accessible, fun, right? Non-threatening. You've heard me say we wanted to be an elite firm without being elitist. You know, deliver an elite service without having an elitist attitude. That's what those three core values for us kind of represented.
I would think that's a very attractive quality for someone looking to hire a design firm.
Well, we thought that too. That's what we think as well. Right? Like, that's what I would want. And it really did start from a perspective of what would we love? What would we want? Well, we would want someone who is complete and thorough and comprehensive.
Sure.
We would want somebody who was creative and interesting and fun. And we want great service, concierge. It's not rocket science. You know, those three C's are what we live by. However, more importantly, for the purposes of today's show, those three C's represented our promise, not just to clients, but to our team. How were you treating a team member creatively from a concierge perspective and from a comprehensive perspective? How were you helping set the table? You asked me before about whether or not I'm in everything. It's kind of like all of my team is in all of it in parts. We just are learning to be able to do the dance better and better and better every day, and then learning how to do it on a national level. And we've already proven early in the year, end of last year, we did our first installation in Florida that didn't require my presence. Now, as an entrepreneur, that's a big deal. That's a moment.
I was going to say, how did you feel about that?
Both conflicted, terrified, and excited.
Right.
Because I was in Puerto Rico while this was going down, and because we had done a great process, because we had delivered a comprehensive approach, because we had delivered creativity, because we had delivered a concierge mindset and a service offering, two of my lead design and my lead operations were able to fly down to Florida, do the installation, and do the first big wave of install without me there. I knew exactly what was going on. I knew the pieces that were there. We had already selected them. But it was the process and the delivery of it that made it special for us. And that's how we ended 2023. So scroll now into like February, end of February, almost end of the first quarter, right? We only have one more month to go in March. And I'm telling you that those three C's represent in our world the promise, not just to the people that work for us, but our clients as well. And if you can get alignment between those two things, you have something very, very powerful. And I want to then relate it to your life. If you believe that you want to make a promise, especially, you know, we talked about how in February, over 80% of the people, I think this is in our lifestyle newsletter, 80% of people who did New Year's resolutions give up by February 16th.
They made it that far, huh?
Just that far, right? And what I'm here to tell you is, this is where this perpetual mindset, like the one that always, you know, how do you always wonder how very busy people accomplish all these things? And how is this person able to be involved in all these things and make their family work and be, you know, what does that really look like? Well, that perpetual mindset actually starts with a promise that you make and the dedication that you make and defining what that promise is, right? So if you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I've made a series of promises, but I haven't really ever made them concrete. My advice would be to you to write them down. Okay? Because here's what ends up happening. At some point, that promise that most people break. See, most people end up breaking the promise. Just like they break the New Year's resolution. They break the promise. It was too hard. I didn't have enough time. Whatever the excuse is that made them not do it. Right? They weren't able to put in the work to transform the promise into, as you're doing the work, what happens is it becomes a purpose. See, it's habit, right? It's not just an idea. It's not the promise. It's the promise with the work that's behind it and the work that follows that transforms it into a purpose. I'll give you a really good example that a lot of people know about. If you've put in a lot of work at the gym, and working out, and you go long enough, the days you miss, you actually physically feel that you need to go back. Like anybody who's experienced success at the gym and hasn't given up already knows that you get to a point where you're like, especially when you're lifting weights, you just feel your muscles craving the activity. Like I really believe we're molecular creatures that are meant to move. You know, we're meant to grow. We're meant to be strong and healthy. We're meant to connect. Like, we're supposed to be in motion. So when we get sedentary, whether it's behind our phones or in our cubicle or on our couch, I think that's antithetical to who we actually really are, right? I believe we're creatures of motion, but we're also creatures of habit. So what are the habits that are causing you to break your promise? Well, a lot of it has to do with just not putting in the work. And what we did at the Design Coach over the past 6 months is, together, and it was very hard. We put in the work together to try to stay focused on those promises. Creative, concierge, and comprehensive. We always had those promises to go back to benchmark the behaviors. And if the behaviors were in line with that or weren't in line, we could immediately call it out, fix it together, collaborate, and then move forward. But if you hadn't defined what the promises were, you can't even begin to know how to put in the work. It's the purpose that actually makes it something special, because the minute it transforms way beyond a promise that you've made, you then have tangible examples of the work that then backed up the promise. And then you get to share that with people like, hey, here's a situation where we worked our, you know, what's off and did it out of state. And here was the result of that. And by the way, we can show you tangible examples of how we made that happen. It wasn't theoretical. It became tangible. See, purpose, real purpose in life is tangible. You have examples. You have examples of how you changed things. You have examples of how you created things. You have examples of how you made something better. You also have examples of how you made something worse, right? And then ways that you resurrected and recovered. See, it's not about continual success. It's about making yourself and keeping yourself accountable to those promises so that the promises can transform into a purpose. And once you've gotten that, right? And sometimes that purpose might look different as you go through the journey. You know, I know a lot of companies that think that they're one thing, and then you realize where the clients are continually giving you, well, this is where your value is, this is where your value is, and they're like, no, I'm this. And they don't listen. Our clients were literally telling us, we want to take the relationship beyond the design. Like, this is great. You helped us build our house. You helped us make our selections. Thank you for the sofa and the final drapery pen. You know, at one point we had a mindset that was, hey, we take you dirt to drapery. So the time you dig the hole for the foundation to the time the final drapery pen goes in, we're with you. Now we're way beyond that, Mike. We are so far beyond it that we're now getting involved in 25th anniversary parties and 21st birthday parties, and we're getting involved in retirement parties, and we're getting involved in the utilization of the home when people come back to their lake homes, right? And what does that welcome back to the lake look like? Like, we're getting into so many areas where we're just helping people enjoy the lifestyle that they've built. You know, a lot of times that doesn't happen for companies because they don't listen to what the clients are really telling them that they need, and they're not willing to evolve and change. But again, if you have the alignment in your promises, you're going to find that people are attracted to the purpose and they find reasons to want to hire you to be in their lives. On the personal side, it's the same way. they're going to find reasons to want to be around you. People like purposeful, intentional people. The reason there's a gravity there is because people want to be, I do think that people want to be inspired, whether it's overtly or quietly, to say, what does that look like so that I can also play a role? Okay? When we come back from the break, we're going to transform this in segment four. We're going to transform it from, okay, promise to purpose to passion. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Philip, I have the dumbest question to ask you.
No, it's not a thing.
So I've known you for many years now. Mm-hmm. I know what you do, but at the same time, I don't know what you do. So when you said in a previous segment that for the first time you were not present for an installation and two of your design people were, it was in Florida.
Out of state, yes.
So,
and I'm out of the country.
Okay, so you're in Puerto Rico, whatever.
Yes.
I'm picturing, what are they doing? Are they showing up with like with a U-Haul and a couch and drapes or paint? What?
Okay, well
installation, walk me through.
Okay, so
that
we have, okay, so anyway, good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with
stupid
your host,
question,
Philip,
right?
Sassano. No, not at all. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what designers actually do. I mean, so you're not, that is not a stupid question
all right.
at all. I think what it boils down to is, what do we specifically do? And what we specifically do is, we have a saying. For us, delivery and installation date, delivery of furniture, delivery of artwork, delivery of drapery, whatever that looks like, that's Christmas Day. We kind of call it Christmas Day. So we're fortunate enough that we have a series of Christmas days where, right, the big present arrives and needs to be unwrapped and unfurled in front of the client. So for us, it's momentous as Christmas Day. It is an excitement. It is, we know the design, but seeing it all together and come to fruition is a really, really big moment, okay? And so what I've tried to do with our team is yes, it does look like a delivery truck. Our people don't drive the delivery truck. They don't move in the furniture. They make the minor adjustments, but we have lots of help putting these experiences together.
But that's what's in the truck, right?
That's what's in the truck. And it takes teams and teams and teams of suppliers and people to pull off the stuff that we do. You know, as you know, we work on projects that are north of 15,000 square feet. We've done homes that are 30,000 square feet, right? Like, we've done massive projects that require a lot of human capital to pull off, okay? What I mean by the momentous occasion for me being sort of not there was that's when you know you have a great team, is when you've done the alignment from principal to employees to say, can you live with that same sense of purpose that started as a promise? And the promise was to the clients in Florida, we got you. You're buying your first property out of state. It's going to be a rental property. We want to be able to furnish it just nice enough, right? There's a set budget. There's an investment there, and we need help doing it. And we love working with you and your team, and we want to give you the opportunity to do it. We could have very easily said, yeah, you know what? Go hire a Florida designer and make it happen. They probably would have ended up going to a furniture store and having the furniture store play in that relationship a little bit, but it would not have been as comprehensive, as creative, or as concierge as we provided. And that's what they wanted. And that's what we did. That's what we delivered. But the beauty of it was the alignment of the promise that we made as a team to one another to deliver the exact same outcome. Even though it might stylistically look different from client to client, the outcome's the same. Was it comprehensive? Was it creative? And was it concierge? If you can go back to that and you can have a team that buys into that, all of a sudden now you've got something very different. And this is in this earlier discussion about that promise is so important because you have to define the right attributes to what you're really trying to achieve. Then we put in the work. We put in the work to try to figure out what it looked like to the client. And then all of a sudden, because it became second nature and because it became habitual, it became a purpose. See, your habits define who you are. And you put enough good habits and good behaviors together, you have a purpose. I think the interesting piece is sometimes the purpose, though, gets muddled with sometimes it can't be monetized. Sometimes things just go wrong, right? And through the work, what I mean by things go wrong is that putting in the work can be deflating because sometimes you never think you're going to get there to the purpose piece. It's hard, right? I mean, if you if anybody knows this from being in the gym, like if you work out enough from day to day to day to day, your body doesn't change all that much. But all of a sudden you look back at all the work you put in and you look over the body of work of a week or a month and all of a sudden you're starting to see results, right? The problem is most people quit before that. This is no different on the personal or the business side. It doesn't matter professional or personal. The journey is the same. Promise to purpose. And then how do you do enough of that work? And how do you make it repeatable enough so that the next intuitive process here is passion? All of a sudden now, you're hungry to share more purpose with people. Like, now it's not just enough for me to have a purpose. Now I want my clients to live an intentional, purposeful life in the home that we created, in the home that we designed, because you spent all this money doing it. Now you should share it with people. Well, what does that look like? Help me. Awesome. Now all of a sudden, that's way beyond like a purpose. That's way beyond a service offering. It is a true passion for wanting our clients to enjoy the assets that they've created, to share them with the people that they love, and then to get hungry for doing it again. To get hungry for doing it again. See, that's that momentum piece that I talk about. And last year I did a show on it's hard to keep your momentum alone. Like, it's really difficult to create your own momentum. That's probably one of the hardest things. It is so much easier to create and maintain momentum with a partner, which is why people have personal trainers. If you have someone who's encouraging you, if you have a team that's in it with you and trying to make the same promise that you're making, I don't care if it's winning a Super Bowl, I don't care if it's doing an interior, and it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever that promise is, that's what creates a purpose. Take it to the parenting level that you and I talked about. You know, when Julie and I first started having kids, we sort of knew what we wanted for them. Maybe it was defined by the things we didn't get or that we had to fight through, that we didn't necessarily want them to fight through, that we felt that we could provide something different that might advance us, you know, in our legacy of, you know, her side of the family and mine. And we had to reverse engineer what that looked like. We had to reverse engineer, okay, is it saving for college? Is it, right? Is it proper behaviors in school? Is it stricter parenting? Is it more relaxed parenting? Like, what does it really look like? We had to have continual discussions about being on the same page and being together and being aligned. And because we were, we feel like we've come up with some success, really successful outcomes on the parenting side. It wasn't because we got lucky. It's because we literally put in the work to staying aligned to the promises that we made to one another, to take the projects, quote unquote, the kids, and have an outcome for them, that then once they get to a purpose, once they get to a point, it's up to them to determine their purpose. It's up for them to determine what their promise is going to be in life. It's going to be up to them to determine how to take that promise to purpose. And then hopefully, if they're lucky enough, because most people give up way before the passion piece, right? To have something that you're passionate about doing every day. If you can go through the lineage of promise to purpose and you can persevere, there's another P in there, the perseverance is key, and you can get that and you can transform purpose to passion, that then is perpetual. See, passion, purpose, promise, if that's aligned, you'll never stop. Your psyche won't let you stop. It just won't. I feel like sometimes people who are in religious walks of life have maybe the same mindset. You know, they're not going to stop being a priest or a healer or a preacher. Like, they just want to, you know, they have a passion for what they do that makes them want to connect and share, right? Like, and sometimes that comes from this bigger picture understanding, but it you know, there's a term for it. It's called a calling. I don't care if it's a nurse, a doctor, an attorney, right? I don't care what walk of or what profession you're in. At some point, trying to make that jump from what is my promise professionally and personally look like to how do I make it a purpose? And if I'm lucky enough, can it become a passion of mine? I don't think we talk enough about. I think we talk a lot about the mission statement, right? Of like who we are. But who we are is not nearly as important as how we're doing it and how we get there. That's that whole thought about like the journey's better than the, or more important than the destination. Do you know why? Because ideally you never reach your destination. Ideally you set a new destination and a new journey with an enhanced purpose and a passion that fuels you to get there. That's the goal. The goal isn't I've arrived. The goal is I've never arrived. All right, I've arrived here, but that's fine. I now want to go here. If you're hungry for that and you can build that in your life and you can build that mindset, but if you're confused at the beginning about what your promises are, if you're confused about the promises that you make to your spouse, to your family, to your job, to your clients, if you're confused about that, it is impossible for it to read as purpose. It eventually will read hollow. It will read thin. It won't last, and you'll give up because the marketplace is brutal. Okay. But the marketplace isn't just about the economy. The marketplace is about the mind and the heart of what you're trying to package in service to others. If you don't buy into that, then eventually you're just doing it for the money. It's not really, your purpose is to acquire more. And at some point that does ring thin with the right types of people that you want to try to attract. You know, if you're all about money, you're going to attract other people who are all about money. I feel very fortunate because we have clients that I enjoy them as people, as wonderful as they are and as fabulously flawed as I am, and they are too. We accept that in one another. And that's why I have relationships with clients that go back 15, 20 years, right? Like you've made an indelible mark on their lives. They've made a mark on you, and they've helped you build that purpose that transformed into that passion, right? That now, at least at the design coach in our world, is starting to feel unbelievably perpetual. And I think the greatest creation, it's interesting. Someone asked me the other day, like, what is your favorite style of design? Or what are you the most proud in your business? It won't be any one individual home or room or thing I've created. It will be the fact that I have instilled a purpose and a passion that I hope is perpetual in my people. I hope I've created people who are hungry to make a difference with what they're doing for their career every day. And honestly, isn't it the same thing with your kids? Like, I want my kids to be as passionate about what they're working on as I am, right? And it doesn't have to be the same thing. They don't need to be designers. In fact, none of them are, okay? At least at this particular juncture. Okay, they're all doing their own thing in their own industries, but I want them to be driven by that same sense. You got to identify the purpose, or you got to identify the promises that you want to make, and then you put in the work to create a purpose. I promise you, if you do that and you can persevere, it'll become a passion because you'll see success. You know, a passion isn't just something that you love doing when it's convenient. That's called a hobby. Okay. A passion is something that you find ways to do even like all the time. Like it's in you all the time. So anyway, that's my message for this Sunday morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Go find a promise. You've been coached.